Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Lulu Nishmas and Zeich Nishmas and Miriam Fraud, Miriam Beschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, Hashem Shev and Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Amen, amen. So we are on page 174. So here's what I did. I thought we needed some Hadracha from Das Torah. So I reached out to one person who I thought could help, and I wasn't able to make contact. So I called Rav Schechter, because I thought we needed some Hadracha with this chapter, with Das Torah. So I spoke to him this morning for my first year, and I explained to him a little bit. We're learning here for 5 years, and Tveikos, Amuna, Tfila, closeness to Hashem. So I said, we're up to a chapter really on Yiras Shemayim, fear of heaven, and that the way to acquire this, I didn't read him lines from the book, that the way to acquire this is through fear of Gehenim and internalizing Gehenim. And if you can't feel Gehenim, you should think of people who suffer in this world, and it will bring you to Gehenim and to rejoice in your suffering, etc. So after I gave my little spiel, so Rav Schechter said, Rav Shai Schechter, so he said, it's not such a bad thing. He said, we believe in Schar and Onesh. There is reward for our efforts, and there is punishment if we fail to do the right thing. He said, these are my notes as I'm prepared to go into my book in Casa, it's parked in Flatbush, I had a few minutes. So he said, the world is not just one big party. And he said, the general people feeling that people have today is, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Everything has to be b'simcha, 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 happy, happy, feel good, happy. He says that's not necessarily the correct approach. We also have to know that there's a serious side. Yivdu es Hashem b'simcha v'gilu b'ra'ada. I said, oh, that's exactly the pasuk that this sefer quotes. He said, so that pasuk, he said to me, is the source for, on the one hand, a person has to be b'simcha in their avodas Hashem. Yivdu es Hashem b'simcha. You should always serve God. You should be an eved Hashem, a servant of God b'simcha. You should feel joy. On the other hand, he said, this pasuk is also the source, and I told him that the mechaber, the author in the sefer, actually quotes that pasuk, and he said, that is also the source for v'gilu b'ra'ada. You shall come before him with a sense of trembling. And he said, you have to reiterate that there's schar and there's onesh, and we believe in this, and the world is not just one big party. He says, you don't have to overemphasize the point. He says, if you want, you don't have to read every single page and every single paragraph. That's what he said.
I didn't bribe him before that, no.
But he said, it's a good idea and it's a learning opportunity to remind ourselves that there is Gehenna and there is Onesh. And if we do not live up to our expectations, then there is divine retribution. He says, especially today, this is a topic that is not often spoken about. And he said, the world is a serious place with serious ramifications. And he said, it is not a bad thing to dedicate a shiur, he said, to this topic. Because he said, the idea that on the one hand, yes, we live here. And he said, we should be b'simcha. And we should enjoy olam hazeh. And we do take pleasure. And we should serve God with a sense of happiness and not a constant terror and trepidation. On the other hand, he says, there's an idea of schar. And there's an idea that we are really b'nei olam haba. We're living here only to get to the next world. And this is what Rav Schechter says. We do believe in Schar and Onesh. It's not just one big party. And people only remember the Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. It's not necessarily the correct approach. There is the Gil Barada. We come before God with a trembling. This pasuk is the source for how serious this world is. And he said it's an opportunity. That's what he said. He said, and it's an opportunity to remind ourselves that there is an eternal world. And it's not necessarily for everybody initially a place of a great party. There are repercussions for our actions. And he did not think that it was a topic to be skipped over, and he did not think that it was a bad topic, and he thought, in fact, that it was an opportunity for all of us to remember something that we don't often speak about, which is there is a Gehenna. And there is din v'cheshbon. You have to give a judgment and you have to give an accounting. And there are repercussions for not doing things the proper way in this world. So he really did not think it was bad. And he did not think, even though he did say you don't have to read every paragraph or on every page, but it's definitely an idea and a learning and teaching opportunity that we do not often speak about, that this world is a very serious place. And he said, we have to know that. As b'nei ma'amin, it's part of a tenet of our faith. It says the Rambam includes it, and it is Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah. So after I spoke to him, I did ask him if he thinks of anything else that I could add to the shiur to please let me know. He said, Bli Nader, and he didn't follow up anything else with me. So when I sat down to prepare the shiur, what came to my mind was Pirkei Avos, Parak Dalet, Mishnah Chof Tes. If he does follow up with me with something else, I will share it with you, Be'ezros Hashem, in a coming week. But basically his point was that this does need to be addressed and it should not be glossed over, and it's not a joke. And I actually did say to him that some of us felt that there was a Christian chas v'shalom leaning here, and he did not agree with that at all. He said that this is a Jewish outlook. There's schar, there's onus. There's gan eden, there's ganem. There's mitzvos, there's averus. There's din and there's chashbon. There's rachamim, but there's din, and that we will be accountable, and that this is something that we have to know. He said too many people today live with the idea that it's only good, happy, fun, wonderful parties. So that's not true. Yes, what's the question?
I just wanted to know who he was.
I called Rav Shai Shachter. I said this when I first started because I felt we needed some hadrach and das Torah. I tried to reach somebody else as well. I was unable to. So I don't want to say the name. I was unable to, but I called Rav Shai this morning because I felt we needed some hadrach here. Okay, so that's what he said. I think that's very, very important for us. I'm grateful for his time. I'm glad that I called him. So when I sat down to prepare shir today, my mind went to the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Parak Dalet. So I actually made photocopies because we're going to go through this piece together. You can please share with the person next to you. I will quote other sources. I'll tell you that this is Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch on Pirkei Avos. That's where we're beginning. Okay, Rav Sham Shernfall Hirsch on Pirkei Avos. You see Parak Revi'i, Mishnah Chavtes. Please take one and pass down. And if you need to, share with the person next to you. There should be more than enough. Okay. So this is the very last Mishnah in Parak Dalet. Of course, we are now going through Pirkei Avos, by the way. This past Shabbos, which was Parshas Bamidbar, for us, Erev Shavuos, we read Parak Vav, and some people have the custom, myself included, to continue reading Pirkei Avos, one Parak a Shabbos, every afternoon from Shavuos. They don't stop by Shavuos, they continue through the end of the year, really. Okay, so by the end of the year, I mean the Jewish year. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Elazar ha-kapar omer. So first, if you look at Mishnah Chavches, Rabbi Elazar ha-kapar omer, and you have the English. Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzin asa adam mina olam. Jealousy, desire, and the quest for honor remove a person from the world. So interestingly, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal comments on this Mishnah, and he says, I'm in Mishnah Chavches, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says that we tend to think, and we believe that it means removes a person from the next world. So here's another idea. The classic interpretation of this Mishnah is removes a person from life in the next world. I.e., what does that mean? He's not going to Olam Haba, he's going to the other place, where nobody wants to be. So we do have this idea that it is, Aaron Lichtenstein says so powerfully, I think he says that anybody knows anyone consumed with kina taiva and quest for kavod, jealousy, lust, and the desire for honor, knows that they remove themselves from this world as well. What is our quality of life? What is the quality of life of a person who lives in this world who is filled with jealousy, who is filled with desire, and who is filled with the quest for honor? It's not only that they remove themselves from eternal world, they remove themselves from which world? A peaceful life in this world as well. Mishnah Chavtas, this is what came to mind. So Hu Haya Omer, we're still talking about Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Okay. Hayilodim Lamus, I gave you the English. You see, those who are born, Hayilodim, those who are born Lamus, are destined to die. You know, I was in the Nautilus today. I go Wednesday, I drank the whole cup of water and every last ice cube. I was so hot. Tizko mitzos armei v'esrim shana for your mother. So the director says to me, you know, there's a few new people here. And because I just read Hayilodim Lamus, everyone should be armei v'esrim shana. And there was this one new couple. She said to me, they're a couple. The director says to me, they're both 96. They're both Holocaust survivors, and they were sitting next to each other on a bench. Most people there do not have their spouses. And at one point during the show, I looked over and they were holding hands. They were Holocaust survivors, 96 years old, sitting on the side. So, Hayilodim Lamus, like someone said to me after the knowledge year today, a woman from the community who comes to the lecture, a number of people come to the lecture who visit their parents specifically at that time, she says, nobody here doesn't have an expiration date. Hayilodim Lamus. There's no such thing. Anyone who is born is going to die. V'hameisim lehechayos. However, we also believe in tchiyas hameisim. Those who have died, I mentioned that Dr. Adi Reichman, one of his shiurim on Shavuos, was on Tchis HaMesim in the Torah. HaMesim Lechios, those who have died will come back to life. Is everyone with me? Know where I'm up to? Last word of Mishnah Chavtas. You have it in the English. V'hachayim lidon. The living will be done. Will be judged. Leida to know. Ulehodia to teach. Ulehivadan to make you known. Shehu kel. He is God. Hu a Yotzer, he is the fashioner. Hu a Bore, he is the creator. Hu a Maven, he is the one who understands. Hu a Dayan, he is the judge. You know, we always talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam being the Dayan Emes, the ultimate judge, but then we don't like to think about the fact that there is a Gehenna. And part of Din means that sometimes you're going to get off, and sometimes the judge will veto the claim, and sometimes you're not going to get off, and sometimes you're going to go to jail. So, Lemaisa, sometimes a person's neshama is not necessarily going to get off. Hu a Ha'ed, he is the witness. Hu Baal Din, he is the master of judgment. Hu Asid La'adun, in the future he will judge. Baruch Hu She'ein Lefanav. So after it tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the fashioner and the creator and the one who understands and the judge and the witness and the master judge, and in the future we will all be judged. She'ein Lefanav. There is not before him. Lo Avla, no wrong. There's no wrongdoing before God. Hashem is not chas v'shalom. Everything he does is perfect. Hatzur tamim palok. He called Rachav Mishpa. The lo shichacha, he does not. What's v'lo shichacha?
Forget.
He doesn't forget. Well, you know, did you ever think about that? Sometimes I think about that. I can't remember sometimes what I did last week, but I ate for supper last week. So I'm going to go there, and everything since my bas mitzvah, they're going to show me. There's no forgetting. I'm not going to say, please fast forward this part. It's very embarrassing. I would rather not see this. V'lo shichacha. V'lo maso panim. What does that mean? Maso panim. Yisa panim. We have it in this week's parsha, in Perek Vav. There's no masopanim. He won't show favoritism. In other words, he won't lift his face towards you. There's judgment. How it's going to be is how it's going to be. In other words, just because he likes you, or because you had good yichus, or because of this, or because of that, doesn't mean there's going to be favoritism. What does that mean? There's no bribery. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said in his deathbed. Shahakol shalom. What are you going to bribe God with? What's already his? Hi, can I give you some gold? Seriously? He owns all the gold. Can I give you some money? The Ribbono Shel Olam needs my money. Vida shahakol lefi hachashbon. What does it mean? Everything is according to the accounting. There's a book. The Sefer, Chaim v'Sefer, Mavis is Pesuch in the Fanav. Everything is written down. Like we say in Perkei Avos, Da Malam Malam Imcha, Ayin Roa, Ozen Shamas, V'chol Ma'asecha b'Sefer Nichtavim. Know it is above you. An eye that sees, an ear that hears, and everything is written down. So here Rabbi Elazar Kabar tells us there's not Shechacha before him. There's not Masopanim before him. You can't expect that the Ribbono Shel Olam forgets, and you can't expect to bribe God. The al yavtichacha yitzircha. Now the Yetzer Hara is very crafty. Don't let him convince you. Yavtichacha, what root is that from? Bitachon. Don't let him trust that what? Shahashol beis manoslach. Don't let your Yetzer convince you that the grave is an escape. How is it translated here? This is Feldheim, by the way. That is a place of refuge. So I said an escape. Sha'al kar chacha atanotzar. You are created against your will. Sha'al kar chacha atanolad. You are born against your will. Sha'al kar chacha atacha. You live against your will. Sha'al kar chacha atameis. You will die against your will. Sha'al kar chacha. And against your will. Ata atid li'tein din v'chashban. What does that mean? Din. What do I have to give in the future? A heavenly accounting. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a cheshbon. How do you translate cheshbon? A reckoning. An accounting. Lifnei melech malchem lachem akadosh baruch hu. Doesn't say lifnei avicha shabashamayim harachem v'hachanun. It says melech malchem lachem akadosh baruch hu. So what I want to do with you is look at the commentary of Rav Shamshon Falhirsch. Right? So this is the very last in the Mishnah in Perek Dalet. So we have this idea that we are accountable for every single thing that we do. Let's look at the bottom of page 4. There's extra. Please pass them down. Whoever needs one, take. Please follow along with me. Does everyone have one? So on the bottom, okay, it says 29. In other words, that's Mishnah Chavtas. Birth, death, resurrection, and reckoning. Right, that's what we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah. Hayulodim lamus, those who are born will die. Hamesim lachayos, that's resurrection of the dead. However, hachayim lidon, there's judgment. These are the preordained periods into which our lives are divided. So there are periods into which our lives are divided. Birth is one period. death, like someone said to me today, there's no one who doesn't have an expiration date. Resurrection, tchias hamisim, reckoning, I have to give an accounting. Could you hear at the end? Yes, could you? You want to hear something cute? One of my boys told me after, I know, the first or second year, he's like, Mommy, because, you know, the rooms are big and there's a lot of people. He's like, Mommy, because, you know, I'm so nervous about hearing. He's like, you need to stop asking the people in the back if they could hear you, one of my 13-year-olds. He's like, if they said they could hear you, don't ask them again. They could hear you. Okay, could you hear? I only asked once. Okay. These are the preordained periods into which our lives are divided and of which we are to be aware at all times. At all times, I have to be aware. I'm going to give a reckoning. What does reckoning mean? What's the point? Am I just getting off the hook? If I spend my whole life sinning, do I automatically think I'm going to Gan Eden? We are to remember always, third line of this commentary of Rav Hirsch, that our life here below is bounded by death. And that death too is only a transient phase. Death is not an end. We usually think that death is an end. Death is a transient phase. It leads to a new and different form of existence. Death is a passage that leads to which existence? Existence that is kulo neshama. Here I am guf and neshama. Death is an experience that's really a combination of the guf and neshama undergoing. I'll tell you, Rabbi Penner, I mentioned that he gave an absolutely fascinating shir on the four who entered the paradise. It was like tremendous. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. We're not going through the shir now, but one, I took home the handout pack. It was brilliant. But one thing that Rabbi Penner said is, what's death? He said, this is so interesting. What is death? Right before death, Rabbi Penner said, he's the Dean of Reitz, the neshama is given a vision of the next world, a very clear vision, something we don't have, a super clear vision of the next world. And when the neshama sees the beauty of the next world, what do you think the neshama says? Yes? I'm out of here. Once the neshama, it's the only time in a person's life that the neshama sees with such clarity the beauty of the Olam HaEmes. And the neshama says, if that's what's there, why do I want to be here anymore? As Rabbi Penner said, that's why we close the eyes of a nifter. Like, does it really matter if the eyes are closed? Is it just covered for the guf? The person can't see anymore. Once the neshama is gone, the eyes don't function as visual. Why? Because Hashkafically, he said, the last thing that the guf should see is that vision of the next world. So I'm quoting Rabbi Penner. Okay? So he said, that's what death is. So here that really leads into what we're explaining. He said, we don't understand death. There's life, that's one phase. And there's death. But death is only another phase. Death is not the end all. We tend to think that death is the final thing that happens to a person. But that's not true. What's the final thing that happens to the neshama? Olam haba. There's Olam Hazeh and there's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is divided into two parts. There is the Gan Eden. Olam Haba just means the coming world. In the coming world, there is Gan Eden and there's also, we've been focusing on for a month, what makes us uncomfortable. Rav Shai said, this is not Christian. And Rav Shai said, it's a tenet of our faith. Rav Shai said, you don't want to read every paragraph? He said it on his own. I didn't even tell him. He said, so don't read every paragraph. But he said, it's a very important topic. He said, it's not just a party here. It's not just besimcha here. There are ramifications. He said, it's an excellent teaching opportunity for us to all remind ourselves. Olam haba, we use the word olam haba and Gan Eden sometimes interchangeably. But the truth is, that's not correct. Olam haba means the coming world, or olam ha'emes. Olam ha'emes has two sections. One section is Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And the other section is Gehenna. Let's go back. We are to remember always that our life here below is bounded by death. But that death too, one, two, three, fourth line of Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch. But that death too is only a transient phase. Think of what Rabbi Penner said. Death, the Yitzia Neshama, we don't understand what it is. There's such a clear vision of the beauty of the Olam HaEmes that I don't want to be here anymore. Leading to a new and different form of existence. Not only the soul is untouched by death, so the soul is totally not touched by death. Death is a physical process. Once the neshama leaves, the body shuts down. The soul is not affected by the physical shutdown of the body. The soul first leaves, and the body shuts down, even though really it happens simultaneously. But the body too is destined to live again. What is that? Tchiyas HaMesim. I went to Dr. Reichman's shiur in my interview. It was about Tchiyas HaMesim. This is cute. He said before the shiur started, so when do we see Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah and the Gemara? So different people were saying, okay, the Yitzchak, that was the first one. I said the Purim story. He said, ah, the Purim story. Does everyone know? I don't remember who. I took his packet home. Two Chazal, it was the Tanaim or the Amoraim, I don't remember. Does anyone remember? They became so drunk on Purim that one killed the other. And then the next day he brought him back. Dr. Eichel said he waited till the next day. And then you don't know, I said the Purim story was one of them. And then the next year he says to his friend, should we have Purim together? And the friend says, it's okay, I'll pass. And you know, also Dr. Eichel presents it in a also slightly humorous way. The soul is untouched by death. Why? The body shuts down, but the soul is not here anymore. But the body too is destined to live again. Tchiyas HaMesim. I went in the fall to a Beis HaChayim with a friend of mine, a friend and learning partner, to the kever of her child, who is Nifter, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, very, very young, at the age of almost 3, or just 3. And I didn't know this, there's a bracha you make when you go to a Beis HaChayim. She brought the book, and it's a bracha. You say paragraph, and it refers to Tchiyas HaMesim. That I didn't know that. There's a bracha that you make that we believe that whatever it exactly means, it's hard for us to envision. There will be Tchiyas HaMesim, and that's what this Mishnah says. However, with all of this, we shall have to pass before the presence of the Lord, the presence of Hashem. Every stage passes, we pass before Hashem in order to render accounting. We will render accounting. There will be consequences. Top of the next page. As to how and for what we have employed the life and existence granted us. I'm going to have to answer. And once I get up there, like the Mishnah says, before him, there is no iniquity. There's no forgetfulness. There's no favoritism. There's no bribery. Hakol lefi hachashvan. I will have to render accounting as to how and for what we've employed the life and existence granted us. Leida, ulehodia, ulehivada. Does everyone see where I am? Second column is this left side of the page. Second line. We are reading in English. We ourselves are to know it. Ha, look what he says next. And to make others aware of it by teaching it to them. Because leida is to know, lehodia is to make it known. That's not enough to know. Saying, let's make it known to others. And without explicit proclamation, we must let this truth become evident through everything we do. God is not only the originator of our existence, which he is the originator of our existence, he gives us birth, but also that it is he who has shaped and fashioned us for our special purpose. He is a yotzer. We say that here. He's a yotzer. If you look back at the Mishnah, line 2 of the actual Mishnah, hu kel, hu a yotzer, hu a bore. We have a special purpose here. And what's the purpose? To fulfill of others Hashem. And we can't believe that if we live a life full of sin, that Hashem will forgive me. And when I get up there, I'm going to go straight to the wonderful garden of utopia. Now, if a person doesn't realize they're sinning, or a person tries the best they can, or a person acts kashayla and he is accidentally misguided, it's a different story. But Stam, a person doesn't learn, so he doesn't know, so he doesn't know what to do, so he lives a life that is devoid of meaning, and then he thinks that he's going to get up there and everything will be wonderful, so it's a problem. And he carefully watches over our every step to discern whether or not we do justice to our destiny. Hashem wants to see, how are we doing? He gave us a tafkid and he gave us a job. How are we doing in the fulfillment of our destiny? Therefore, does everyone know where I am? Why are you following with me? Yes. It's easier if you follow to understand what he's saying. I'm starting the 8th line. Therefore, if our behavior should not be in keeping with our divinely ordained destiny, Hashem will act as the judge. Not mamala, it's okay. I understood. Like the Rav says, if a person wants to be melamed tzchus upon himself, when he comes to give a vidui, it's worthless. You can't, says the Rav, rationalize your actions. God will act as a judge. He is a witness. He's a prosecutor. And we will be called to account for our actions. In a court of justice over which a human judge presides, some human weakness on the part of the judge might save us. You know, your daughter comes in and you're the judge. How harsh are you really going to be? But we have to understand when it comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, there is impartiality. He's not only Avinu, he's also Malkeinu. And when we get up to the Olam HaEmes, There's going to be din, but in the heavenly tribunal there is no such chance. Hakol lefi hachashvan. There is a book and there's a video or whatever they're up to now up there, and the computer chip, and they're going to play it back lefi hachashvan. And it's not just, Rav Shai said, it's not just Yivduos Hashem B'Simchi, he said, there's so much focus on that. There's the Gil B'Ra'ada. There is a fear and a trembling. The sentence does not depend upon the general impression left by the defendant. The sentence does not depend upon the general impression left by the defendant. Who's the defendant? Me, exactly. Instead, it is determined by the accurate sum total of all our individual acts, both good and evil. Therefore, let not even the smallest good that you accomplish, or even the least evil that you do, be a matter of indifference to you. If everything counts, then everything counts. And I have to be aware of that. For your every good deed adds to your merit before God. Please look inside. While every evil act adds to the burden of your guilt. It could not be clearer. There are two worlds before me, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and I don't know where they're taking me. Below Evka, and I shouldn't cry about, I'm talking about myself. Believe me, I'm talking about myself. I'm saying this to Miharetz. So why does it make us so uncomfortable to talk about Gehenna? Guess what? It's a real place, and we're going there. That's such a bad thing, said Rav Shai. Chas v'shalom, not you. I don't know. I'm just saying, there's a place, and it's really before us, and it's a problem. And I come to the Sefer, and now I say I'm uncomfortable. Why am I so uncomfortable? Rav Shachter said, it's not something to gloss over. It's a reality. Your every good deed adds to your merit before God, while every act of evil adds to the burden of guilt. There is no way. That's how the Mishnah ends. Al yavtichacha yitzir chashashol beis manosach. Don't let your gates or hara convince you. Could you pass down a sheet or two people could share, please? Even though we only have like two sentences left, we're right towards the bottom of the left column. Do not let your Yetzer Hara convince you that once you die, and remember, death is just a process. Death is not a process. What's the word I'm looking for? A springboard into your real existence. Death is, there's life, there's death, and there's the next world. And after the next world, there's Chiyus HaMeisim. And there is no way for you to escape from this cycle. It was preordained for you long before you were born. There's no human being who comes to this world who can get out of this cycle. No one's exempt from this. From the most ignorant ignoramus to the greatest God of Hadar, everyone is going to go through this. You have no choice with regard to either your creation or your birth, your life or your death. Or with regard to your appearance before the tribunal of God, where we will have to render accounting for our past. So it could not be clearer. This is, I think, Mishnah is a very powerful illustration of what we have been learning these past few weeks. And there's an accounting, and we're going there. We're going to have to give this accounting. Any questions or comments? I'm going to quote from Rabbi Lau Yachal Yisrael now on Pirkei Avos. But does anybody have any questions or comments on what we just learned from Rav Shamshar Falhirsch? Shem Shafal Hirsch's commentary on Chumash, on Tehillim. I quoted something of his over Ashavuos from the Hirsch Siddur. Pirkei Avos, he's very, very powerful, very clear and very powerful, very direct and to the point. So now I'm quoting from Yachal Yisrael, the Rabbi Lau on Pirkei Avos. He's also quoting on this Mishnah. No one knows with absolute surety God's criteria of judgment. Clearly, however, God takes into account all the factors of a person's life. Even a minor incident can play an important role in God's judgment. And the sages state, and I'm sure you've heard this, afilu usicha kala ben ish liish de magidin lo b'shas hadin. Have you heard that before? Even a light conversation, an unnecessary conversation between a husband and wife is repeated back at the hour of death. So if words that were said without purpose, words that were not necessary, will be repeated back at the hour of death. In a human court of law, a claimant can call witnesses to support his claim, and you stand before the judge. In order to illustrate God's judgment is unique, this Mishnah tells us that the first judge and the witness, it's all who? The Ribono Shel Olam. Okay. The Rambam on Mishnah Pirkei Avos, teaches the Rambam that a person is rewarded for every mitzvah and punished for every sin. with unerring precision. That means, what does unerring mean? There's no mistake. Unerring precision. The Rambam clearly teaches we're rewarded for every mitzvah and punished for every sin. What does that mean, punished for every sin? It means sometimes the soul needs a purification of Gehenna. Okay. Do not let your inclination, I'm still quoting from Rabbi Lau, do not let your inclination assure you that the Sheol is a place of refuge. Please listen to what Rabbi Lau writes next. A person may have come to doubt the existence of the world to come. And that's really what the author in our Sefer is trying to teach us. A person may come to doubt the existence of the world to come. Particularly, if he has sinned, he falls into the arms of despair. And he consoles himself that in the end, the light will be extinguished upon his death forever. In other words, there's no ramifications. I could do as much sin as I want, and there's nothing happening after this. But the Mishnah says, no, that is not true. We are brought from the antechamber into the banquet hall, and it will be against our will. The antechamber being life, in Olam Hazeh, death is the passageway, and ultimately you're going to be in the main hallway. Midrash Shmuel adds, this Mishnah comes to disabuse those who have fallen into despair. And maybe they think they are free to continue on their dissolute path. The Mishnah says that's the counsel of the evil inclination. Now, let's say a person sins. And let's say a person does wrong. Let's say a person feels there's no hope for them. What are they going to keep doing?
More sin.
What?
More sin.
They're going to continue to sin. However, this Mishnah reminds us that is the counsel of what? The Yetzer Hara. Al yavticha yitzircha shal shal beis malasach. The Yetzer Hara wants us to think that just keep sinning because the grave will be your escape, because there's nothing after this. Because who really goes to Gehenna? The answer is some people really go to Gehenna. Some neshamas really need a purification. May Hashem save us. May we save ourselves. It's our chance to save ourselves here. Everyone can repent. But a person should, if he should continue in his misdeeds, writes Rabbi Lau, there is no end to the depths of the Sheol. Furthermore, Rabbi Lau writes, ready? Every human being must pass through five phases of being. First, his soul stands in the heavenly court. That is before it ever comes down here. So it is in the Otsar HaNeshamos. There is a Otsar HaNeshamos. How would you translate Otsar HaNeshamos? A storehouse. A
storehouse.
What? Storage house, thank you. Storage, it's close enough. A storage house of neshamos, and that's where the person's neshama begins its journey. Second, for 9 months, it remains in a protected environment in the womb. It learns Torah from the mouth of an angel. That's the second stage. So first stage is, the neshama has not descended to this world. Once it descends, it is in this world, but it's not yet in the turban to Olam Hazeh. It's the womb of the mother. Third, the child is born into a world of uncertainty and trouble. Interestingly, Tanchuma, Medrash Tanchuma Bekudei 3, the loss of the tranquil existence in the womb is why Chazal say a child cries when it is born. It's tranquil, it's protected, it doesn't have to be amel for food, doesn't have to toil, doesn't have to fight the Yetzer Hara. And Chazal actually said, quoted by Rabbi Lau, that a child cries when he leaves the womb because he's leaving the safety of that world to come to the turbulence and the difficulty. And there's a lot of difficulty and there's a lot of confusion in this world. There, everything is clear. Fourth, so first stage is the Sham is in where? And the Otsar HaChayim in the storage house of Neshamba. Second, the pregnancy. Third stage, the birth. Fourth, quote, quoting Rabbi Lau, the life of this world is filled with tests and tribulations. And it makes it difficult for a person to fulfill his mission upon earth. It's a reality. So our sages state it would have been preferable for a person not to have been created. You know the famous debate in Maseches Eruvin, Yod Gimel Amud Beis. Why does Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai debate? Is it better to have been
created
or not created? What did they conclude?
Who
remembers?
Yepashpesh
b'ma'asav. It was better. Mutav lo la'adam shalom nivra. Mishar nivra. It was actually better talk that we should not have been created. But once we were created, so what choice do you have? Check your deeds. And that's our sages stated. It would have been preferable for a person not to have been created. But now that he has been created, let him examine his deeds. And therefore, a person can pass in peace in this world only when he bears in mind only when he bears in mind, al karchacha ata asi liitain din v'chashvan. For every step and action in life, we will have to give an accounting. And finally, the fifth stage is a person returns its soul to the maker. So the soul is up there, it has not descended. The second stage, this is what Rabbi Lau brings down, is the pregnancy. The third stage is the birth and life. The fourth stage is the death. And the fifth stage is, the neshama is going back up. Interestingly, why should a person be required, this is Rabbi Lau's final comments on this Mishnah, to give a judgment and reckoning for a life that was not his own choosing? It's a good question. Al karchacha ata notzar. I was created against my will. Al karchacha ata nolad. Nobody asked me in there. I came out. Al karchacha ata chai. You didn't ask me if I want life. Al karchacha ata mis. So the Dubna Magi is going to explain with a parable. Why do I have to give a din v'chashvan, like the Mishnah says, for something that was against my choosing? If I chose something, so fine. But if I didn't choose something, why are you telling me that now I'm responsible? I didn't ask to be here in the first place. The Dubna Magid answers this question with a humorous parable. I'm quoting from Rabbi Lau. In a certain town, there lived two sisters. One was exceedingly ugly, the other known for her sharp tongue. Years passed until their problem was solved. The ugly woman was married to a blind man. The acidulous woman, the woman with acidulous, the woman with the sharp tongue was married to a deaf man. Okay, so the woman who was unattractive, this is the Dubna Magid, was married to a blind man, and the woman with the sharp tongue was married to a deaf man. So you get it? One couldn't see and one couldn't hear. A few years later, a physician visited the town and healed both men. From that day onward, their lives were wrecked. They grew well acquainted with their wives' unsavory aspects, which until now had been mercifully concealed from them. So when they received the physician bill, they refused to pay. He says, I still want to be deaf. And he says, no one wants to be that, trust me, but okay. It's a parable, it's a mashal. And the other one says, I still want to be blind, arguing that the doctor worsened their lives, not improved their life. When the case came to court, the judge ruled as follows. It is true that the physician caused these two men distress. Therefore, I sentence him to rectify his actions, take away the sight of the first man and the hearing of the second man. The two defendants refused to agree to this solution. When that really came, what did they say? I don't want to be blind and I don't want to be deaf. And so the judge told them, that being the case, you must pay the physician what you owe. You yourselves have stated you are pleased with what he did for you. That's a parable. It's a Dubna Magid Mashal. The same is true of every one of us. It might be the reality that Hashem put our souls here against our will. But who would agree to leave it? It's the greatest human instinct. You know, sometimes when I read the stories of the Kedoshim in the Holocaust, I don't know. I think one of the greatest miracles of the Holocaust is that people wanted to live. It's so not normal that they wanted to live. What were they living for? What did they want to live for? Why didn't everybody throw themselves against the barbed wire fence? Why didn't everyone just lay down on the death march and say, just put a bullet through my head and get the suffering over with? If you read the books, they all fought in the most horrific conditions. It's such a nace that we're all here from that tenacity of spirit. So Dubna Magid says, maybe the neshama and the olam ha'emes did not choose to come down here. But once we're down here, what do we all want? Life. We fight for life. V'chai b'hem, v'lo she'yamus b'hem. Even a sick man turns to physicians and says, save me. We all struggle to remain alive. Our desire to remain in this world proves we are actually pleased with the gift of life. It might be against our will, and it might be difficult, like it was difficult for the man who was married to the unsightly woman, and it was difficult for the man who was married to the woman with the sharp tongue. But ultimately, they wanted it. Therefore, it's only fair that we submit to the godly conditions. We will have to give a judgment and a reckoning for our behavior. Because even though it may have been against our will, once we're here, do we want it or we don't want it?
We want it.
We want it. No matter how difficult it gets, I'm not talking about someone who's mentally unwell, Khalid v'chas, and takes their own life. That's a different category, and those people are really sick. Hashem yirachem aleinu. Talking about the amonam, that life is difficult, and we all have challenges. Who doesn't have challenges, and who doesn't have difficulty? Who doesn't have nisyonos? Who doesn't have pain? But do you want life? Do you want life? So Rabbi Lau says, so how could you say, I don't want to give a din v'chashvan? Oh, you're going to use the argument, mutav adam shalom nivra yoter mishan nivra? But now that you're here, you want life. I'm now going to quote from Ideas and Insights of the Sfas Emes on Pirkei Avos. I need water. Could you help me? Just because I can't. My book doesn't stay with me. Thank you. 1 second, please. Thank you. I'm going to quote now from the Sfas Emes. With these words, in other words, the words of the Mishnah, which is our topic in question, the Mishnah is refuting one of the Yetzer Hara's most frequent, though misleading, arguments. His most frequent argument. What's the Yetzer Hara's most frequent argument? Who cares what you do? There's no accounting anyway, so do whatever you want. We are all innately aware we have been placed in this world to fulfill a sacred mission. Atem tiyuli mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Amatan Torah, everything changed. We are an am segula. V'avieschem elai, akamfei nisharim. We're a treasured people. We are a holy people. We are a kingdom of priests. We have a sacred mission. While this mission may vary according to each individual's capacity, that's very important. Some people could be teachers, some people could be lawyers, some people could be mechanchim, some people could be a shul rav, some people could be an accountant, some people help other people by being a physical therapist. While our mission varies according to our individual capacities, everyone has different tools through which they fulfill Ratzon Hashem, we all share the same sense of purpose. What's the same sense of purpose? I am simply what? Eved Ne'eman Karasola. What's Moshe's greatest obituary? At the end of his life, what do we say about Moshe? Vayamasha, Moshe, all he gets is Eved Hashem. That's it. That's what you have to say about Moshe. He brought us the Torah, he crossed the Red Sea. He smote Egypt. He brought the 10 plagues. He brought us man, water from Iraq. And what does he get at the end of his life? He's a servant of God. Everyone has different capacities, but we all share the same sense of purpose to seduce us to fail. In our lifelong destiny, the Yetzer Hara argues there is momentary pleasure to be derived from committing an avera. Now, it's true, by the way. Think of when you do something you shouldn't do. I'm going to use the example. You're very full, and you're not really interested in dessert, but it comes to the table. I'm using a gashmistic example, okay? You're really full. And why do you eat the dessert? Because in the moment, it has a feel in your mouth. Good. It's chocolatey, or it's vanilla pudding, whatever flavor you like, or me, it's apple crisp, or blueberry crisp, or give me any fruit crisp with a crumb topping. I could eat the whole pack. It has nothing to do with whether I'm hungry or not. I could eat. How do you feel after?
Gross,
not good. Unhappy, you're nauseous, you're upset at yourself. Why did I eat? I couldn't stop one piece. I had to have 3 lemon squares, I had to have 3 blondies, you want one to be yotzei. How do you feel after? Not very good. In the moment when you're speaking to Lashon Hara, you happen to think it's a good idea. If you really thought from the outset this is not a good idea, you wouldn't be speaking it in the first place. When I scream at my kid, Chas V'Shalom, so in the moment, it feels cathartic to release. How does a person feel after?
Horrible.
Not so good. The Yetzer seduces us. He wants us to fail in our lifelong destiny. So what does he say? In the moment, you will derive pleasure from that avera. And that pleasure will exceed anything else. Listen, quote. This is a perfect place to end our share with the Sfas Emes. Listen why, thank you. The Yetzer Hara argues that the momentary pleasure to be derived from committing an avera exceeds anything. It even exceeds punishment that may be inflicted in Gehenna for failing to fulfill our purpose. I'm quoting this Sfas Emes on this Mishnah. He specifically refers to the punishment in Gehenna. So the HR says, don't worry. The pleasure you get from that 10th piece of cake, the pleasure you get from letting out your emotions against your kid, the pleasure you get from speaking Lashon Hara, the pleasure you get from cutting off the driver who cut you off, and now they see you're religious, and now you just made a Chilul Hashem, that pleasure is greater than any punishment in Gehenna. While this tortured rationale is not true, that's what the Yetzer's tactic is. So the Mishnah says, against your will you live, against your will you die. Even after death you will live again. Despite the rantings of the Yetzer Hara, listen to this. He brings up a new element, the Sfas Emes. If you do not fulfill your mission here, what will happen to your soul? Not even Tchias, Exactly. The Kabbalistic concept of Gilgulim, one who does not complete their mission because the Yetzer Hara was so successful in telling us that the momentary pleasure supersedes all else, a soul will return to earth several times to fulfill its mission. And therefore, that's another way to understand that even after death, there is, once again, life. Hamesim lichyos is either referring to Tchias Hamesim, or the Sfas Emes says, what's it referring to? If you listen to the design of your Yetzer Hara, then what are you actually referring to? The soul has no menuchas hanefesh because you couldn't fulfill it the first time. So you have to come back, you have to come back, you have to come back, you have to come back. So why fight the inevitable and at the same time bring upon yourself the inevitable retribution of Gehenna? Inevitable retribution of Gehenna. And this is really why this, how this whole shiur was formed. The springboard for the shiur was a conversation I had this morning with Shai Shachter. And it made me think of this Mishnah. When I went to look up the sources, I see that it's a good place to be, this Mishnah, because it's very relevant to our learning. Instead, says the Sfas Emes, achieve your destiny during your present sojourn in this world. Why do you need to come back again and again and again and again? You can achieve it what? The first time you are here. Let me see if I want to finish. I did want to finish with more, but... This is a compilation of different sources on Pirkei Avos. Al karchach atachai. Should I do 2 minutes or should I finish? Let's just finish it so that next week, Ezra's Hashem, we can move on. Al karchach atachai. I know we didn't do anything in the sefer, but I think the shiur was very, very important and very, very necessary. I even told Rav Shai, he said, you know, a few years ago, we were having trouble with Bechira versus Yedi. I said, I consulted Das Torah. I said, I'm at that point again, and I need some hadracha here. Al karchach atachai. Yesh adem meduka biyisurim. There are some people who have so many yisurim, they want to die, and they still can't die, says the Bartanura. Here, this Mishnah mentions the natural processes that occur to man, that which you have no bechira. Your soul coming here, pregnancy, birth, that's not your choice. Asher aleim amru azal, that the rabbis zechonam b'vracha say, hakol b'yidei shamayim, your creation, your birth, your development as a fetus, your death, it's all against your will. But please listen. Aval lo amar ha-mishnah, this is according to the parish of the Rambam, lo amar ha-mishnah sh'al karchacha ata chotei. The Mishnah says, al karchacha ata yotzer, nolad, chai, meis, din v'chashvan. But nowhere does it say, al karchacha ata chotei, against your will, your sin, o ata over, o mahalich, o meid v'chol domaz. It doesn't say you stand, or you sit, or you walk, or you go, or you act against your will. Only the natural processes are against your will. However, all of those things, hakol advarim ha'ela b'yedei ha'adam. And with this, I'm going to add, livchor batov. All of those are my choice. I have a choice to choose. Once I'm here, that I had no choice. But now that I'm here, I have a choice. And if I don't choose properly, Yudu es Hashem b'simcha. Yes, we must focus on simcha. Rav Shai said, don't forget the second half of the pasuk. V'gilu bira'ada. There's an element of fear, there's an element of pachad, there's an element of trembling, and the Olam HaEmes is made up of two different sections. And where we will be depends on the people we are in this world. Kol hey torach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. If I prepare properly here, I will enjoy there. And Rachman Latzana, that may hurt Yetzar convince me of otherwise, and there will be a din v'cheshbon. Yes, against my will, and yes, I might not like it, but it's one of the tenets of our faith. Any comments or questions? Okay, besoros tovus, everybody.